The there's a puzzle. You could think of consciousness and its endless craving.
Endless craving?
Endless craving. As a puzzle. So there are four things we're going to be talking about. The first one is referred to as is. And the second one is what's referred to as making sense. Third thing is I am. And the fourth is grappling with grappling. Okay. That's the tonight's map of the universe.
Is, making sense, I am, and grappling with grappling.
Yeah.
We're going to go over them in order?
Yeah, or skip around.
Yeah. Okay.
So, is, as the shorthand for the irrefutability of experiencing.
It just is. Is a good word for it.
Is.
Mm-hmm. Isness, is a runa rodeo, is a rama.
That's right.
Is.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right. Izzy, isness.
I sneeze, therefore I is.
Might have a coconut allergy there.
If I were smarting them, I think so.
Mm. So it's, you know, useful to really, you know, be an Orloff bubblehead when it comes to is. Now the, you know, you could say the fruition of inquiry, however that's showing up, returns one to the sneezing simplicity of.
Sorry.
All right. Is.
What returns one to it?
Inquiry.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, engagement, right?
Paying attention to it.
Paying
affection.
Attention. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All those. Yeah. So the dilemma for, you know, a creature, right? And the creature is one sense of, let's call it body, mind, in space, time. That's the creature. How does is convince itself of being I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how does that happen?
Yeah.
We talk about enculturation. We talk about, you know, you're told that as a child.
Right.
You get it in the water.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, is, you know, has no, well, it has no vector. It has no problem. It has no, you know, agenda, no, no genesis, no story. But for the, you can say, average unicorn, is, taken to be I am. And the I am is, you could say, synonymous with the arising of the sense of creature or individuation, body, mind, space, time. Because is left to its own devices, is not.
It doesn't say anything about what it is.
It's not saying anything about itself or, you know, or about you as an, you could say, as a captive audience to is. So the, you could say, one of the more essential questions that one can make is, by what curious means does is hearken unto itself as I am? Well, the mechanism is making sense. Is can do only one thing, and that's to try to make sense of itself. By making sense of itself, fundamental irrefutability of experiencing becomes anthropomorphized. Because one's sense of self is not the byproduct of body, mind, space, time. Those are after. Body, mind, space, time is an afterthought of, I'm suggesting, a more primal enzymatic mechanism, which is the way in which is convinces itself, imbues itself with I am. So the creature is after this curious juxtaposition I'm referring to. So making sense is subtler than what we would refer to as creating content or context in mind through language, metaphor, interpretive engagement, and wanting to place names on things. So there's two levels of making sense. One is what appears that the creature is doing to construct a context for is. But when the creature is attempting to create a context for is, the creature is doing so as I am. You see, you already have to be extruded as an I am to have any agency whatsoever, which points to this subtler aspect of making sense. Is becomes I am through a very subtle, call it mechanism or non-mechanism, of making sense. The is has taken on the mantle of disparate individuation. As is like, what am I? Appreciating that there's this primal and impersonal making sense, urgency of making sense, which converts is the naked nature of being into I am. Now what am I going to do about myself? And it's that I am that suggests body, mind, and space time. You have to have some kind of I am before you're capable of associating with or identifying with body, mind, and space-time as a context for individuated corporeal being. Grappling with grappling is everything that comes after is the world. And my so-called relationship with the world as a creature, as, and I am now wearing a mantle of creature, body, mind, space, time. So body, mind, space, time is so deeply confused by its, you know, by its involuntary animation as self, that all it can do is grapple with grappling, which is simply to become lost in the fantasy of a manifest world in which you're operating as a creature at risk. So when you roll the camera back, you take the film and you just go back nice and slow, you can see that, oh shit, my whole mindset, the whole imagination of my life, happily or unhappily lived, is simply grappling with grappling. You're just lost in a never-ending iterative field of implication and metaphor. So all you can really do with yourself is confuse yourself further. Because you're just living in a fantasy of content. That's grappling with grappling. That's where all the, you know, you could say that's where all the suffering is. That's where the karma is. That's where the, you know, trials and tribulations and ecstasies of the world express themselves. Grappling with grappling. A mind that is just inebriated with its own content. Can't get any rest from its own content. It's just compulsively content-driven. Every mood you have, or at least the way that you feel about or think about and think about how you feel and feel about how you think, is just grappling with grappling. And as, you know, dear Gautama suggested, this doesn't last. You can notice how grappling with grappling has brought you a never-ending cinematic demonstration of the myth of yourself. But it hasn't become anything other than grappling with grappling. Just this endless stream of content. As you could say, the so-called body gets older. Now, if you look at the, you know, grappling with grappling, you can see that it's unsatisfactory, you know, that there's dukkha. You can see that it suffers from anicca, anatta, and dukkha, namely, that nothing lasts. Grappling with grappling is just never-ending stream of moods and associations and justifications and shit that's hurt you and shit that you've felt good about and the constant rehash of who you think you are, all occurring in imagination. So nothing lasts. The other aspect Buddha suggested was dukkha, that it's unsatisfactory. Grappling with grappling is not satisfying. It never goes anywhere, it never becomes anything, it never resolves itself, it never gets any better. You could almost argue it never gets any worse. But if one is trying to find some kind of, you know, inhabit some kind of lasting satisfaction or become sated within the field of grappling with grappling, good luck. You never will. No matter how much money you make or how exotic a car collection you've managed to put together in a warehouse. So grappling with grappling is, it turns out, a fascinating cinematic presentation, but that's all it is. It's a fascinating cinematic presentation, which never becomes anything.
that whole expression seems to assume that there's someone there to be grappling with.
Well, that's right. You see, that's is, having animated it as I am. Now the I am suggests body, mind, space, time, and body, mind, space, time grapples with grappling. And grappling with grappling is punctuated by anicca, anatta, and dukkha, namely, doesn't last, unsatisfactory, and not self. So when we live a life inebriated by grappling with grappling, that's just the never-ending streaming content of the imagination of myself. What has happened to me, what is happening to me, what's going to happen to me, and all the things that I'm going to do to control the outcome. Pray, supplicate, genocide, whatever it takes to control the outcome. But there is no outcome, because you never escape from grappling with grappling. It never becomes satisfying. You can't win. Being lost in the labyrinthine nature of grappling with grappling. So it's the perfect entrapment. Mythical, but still. It's the perfect entrapment. You remain under the influence of we're reducing the whole expressive nature of human consciousness as grappling with grappling, which is useful in that it's so easy to get lost in the content of oneself and everything that you think is right and wrong with you and what should or shouldn't happen to you. Once you see that that's all grappling with grappling, you're like, oh. Then maybe your, call it intelligence, can learn how to wean itself from the inebriation of grappling with grappling, namely the field of not lasting, unsatisfactory, and not self. So you have to get closer, more intimate, with what we're referring to as the curious way in which is takes on the mantle of I am. You have to go behind grappling with grappling as a symptom field, and you have to go behind body, mind, space, time as the so-called evidence of your individuated nature. And really look to whatever that means, because it's too, you know, there it's really, I mean, it's, it gets strange in here. Look me, I don't know what the fuck look means, but look anyway. As you go behind the symptom field of grappling with grappling, and you're just, even for a few minutes, just fucking done with yourself. You don't need to resolve anything, fix anything, be right, be wrong, have a spiritual experience. I mean, really. Consciousness can just, you know, fuck off, because grappling with grappling is not doing it for you. It's not bringing home the tofurkey. Then you start to see, well, okay, cool. I can put grappling with grappling on a shelf. The whole content of myself. I don't have to resolve a fucking thing, explain a fucking thing, make anything work out at all. I mean, really, at all. This is just, oh my God. It's a fucking nonsense field. And I'm therefore released from it in terms of its importance, viability, or the urgency that I might have to resolve something in that field. Just shelve it. But you're still here, even though you've been successful, even imaginarily, at dropping grappling with grappling. Well, you're not quite done, but you might, for a few minutes, if not the rest of a lifetime, like, ha, 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 I just don't fuck with myself anymore. Because grappling with grappling blows, and I've seen deeply enough into it that, though I haven't put a stop to it, I'm just not interested enough in myself to take this horse feathers seriously enough to give it any attention. That in itself is a profound, you know, call it yogic adventure. But you're still here, whatever that might suggest. And you may still think of yourself, namely the irrefutability of experiencing, you may still think of as body, mind, space, time. I'm a body. I'm in a location. It's a certain time of day. You know, the mind is the mind. I can't turn experiencing on and off. And so there's an association. We're just talking about dematerializing, deconstructing various levels of association. The most, call it, you know, gross is grappling with grappling, which is the content of the imagination of my life. You're like, psh, psh, I'll see ya. Then what's the next level down as you go back? Well, for fun, I'm saying body, mind, space, time. Because one is still, you know, very fond, even if involuntarily so, with I am, with individuation, as a creature. But you're not a creature. The raw material of is, the freedom, the call it the vacuity, the emptiness of is. I would say you're as much that, if not more that, than being a creature. A creature is already the result of an interpretive, powerful, call it intoxicating interpretive movement. So you put grappling with grappling on the shelf. And then you start to relax from the unsought identity with being a creature as space, time, body, mind. But you're still here. So the next level of, you know, let's say dismantling the myth of yourself as being, you know, individuated, temporally, spatially, corporeally individuated is, well, let's just call it I am. We're looking at, basically, we're taking our clothes off, or taking our cloaks off, peeling away these very curious layers of identity to see what remains. Now, that's a very different direction to engage your consciousness in, because most of the time we are inebriated with grappling with grappling. The fantasy of myself living a life in time. And that's where most, you know, call them creatures, occupy or live their lives in abstraction. You know, maximizing, call it sense pleasure or security or the comforts of, you know, what we call body. So as it peels away, as the cloaks peel away, okay, well, yeah, I'm not messing with myself. That's just bullshit. I've been doing that way the fuck long enough. I see that there's no end to it. It never was anything. It never becomes anything. I am not going to resolve the myth of myself within an imaginary context, which is the myth of myself. Not going to happen. So you're peeling back. Body, mind, space, time can be seen. Again, seeing is a, you know, a curious word. I mean, it has a, you know, a deeper implication. But before you have attenuated to body, mind, space, time, can't we say there's a subtler insistence, emergent, unbroken insistence, irrefutability of the presence of being?
Is.
Yeah, right? See, you can look and go, whoa, body, mind, space, time is just an interpretive orientation to something that is more subtle than body, mind, space, time.
Well, just more fundamental.
More
it's not very subtle sometimes.
Well, that's, yeah.
It's pretty loud. It's all there is.
The way that it, you know, speaks to you is the way that it speaks to you. How, you know, the presentation of is, I am, body, mind, space, time, grappling with grappling, and the magical glue of making sense are, I mean, each one of those as shorthands for something that's utterly fantastic can go in any old direction. You know, each one of those can suggest, you know, fractal upon fractal of, you know, weird presentation. But if we get into, let's say, too much symptom of perception is becomes grappling with grappling. See, that's why grappling with grappling is so good. It's so easy to, let's say, fall into, to tumble into the abyss of grappling with grappling, because making sense is lit. What I'm referring to is making sense is the sheer force of conceiving, of differentiation, a discernment, preference, language. The sheer force of conceiving is so potent, I mean, it's so intoxicating, that it will suck you into grappling with grappling like faster than chutes and ladders.
By conceiving, you mean erecting an interpretive framework.
That's right.
Saying, I know what is.
Yes. Yep.
Is.
Yeah. See what happens? So you look at this potency of, call it consciousness itself, erecting, manufacturing, conjuring, interpretive framework through contrast, comparison, metaphor, language, assignment, all of which is occurring absolutely effortlessly without burning a single calorie. And that conceiving occurs. I would say that conceiving, that's why I'm referring to making sense. That conceiving is the process of making sense. Conceiving means to apply, right?
Conceptualism,
knowledge, reference, metaphor, teaching, physics, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's conceiving. That's making sense. That's the reflex, the magical reflex of making sense. And it's important to see at least two levels of making sense. One is the symptomatic level, which leads you into grappling with grappling. The other is way more subtle, which is what converts is into I am. That's the one to see. That's the one to get to. That's the encounter. You want to keep going through the doors of the temple. You got to find the key or the combo or kill whatever fucking beasts might be standing in front of those doors. Take them out so that you can keep going through the doors to discover the immutability of is on its terms. which is no longer a human vocabulary. And when it gets really good, is emptiness itself. Which leaves you into kind of a curious non-position, which is face-to-face with emptiness itself, completely released from both levels of making sense. And it's the more subtle level of making sense. That's where your attention needs to go. That's a level of intimacy that attention needs to be able to see. The primal, call it original, implication of conceiving, which imbues is with I am. Now, it's a deep door, using the temple model. It's a deep door. It might actually be a sanctum that you stumble upon that's no longer in the temple. And yet you had to pass through the temple to find it. Once you've found it, through the metaphor of going through the temple, then you see that it's everywhere. So the shamanic process of consciousness just fucking leveling you is a metaphor for this reduction sauce, peeling off the cloaks of express identification, peeling back from grappling with grappling to body, mind, space, time, which is another symptom of imagined individuation, which symptom is the consequence of I am. Then maybe you rest in some kind of, you know, call it I am that I am. Soham, kosher salami, something, you know. But even I am is just not going to do it for you. You have to pierce the veil of I am. Get through that original subtlety of making sense of a primal conceiving, which makes emptiness think that it's other than itself. So that you become exonerated from all and every possible symptom of identification. So that inner sanctum that may appear as if one is peeling off cloaks or passing through doors in a somewhat material way, through conversation, inquiry, yoga, meditation, suffering, everything you got, right? You're all in. Everything you got guides you, nudges you through the temple doors, one sanctum after another, as you weaning yourself off of from false identification. Like, I'm not satisfied with grappling with grappling. Fuck, I've been at that for long enough. That's nowhere. And shit, body, mind, space, time, what a drag. I'm just done with being pushed around by God knows what, making it appear as if I am an individuated creature.
At rest. Got to be a certain thing.
Yeah. You're just like, no, that's bullshit, man. It's bullshit. I'm done with grappling, and I'm sure as fuck done with fucking body, mind, space, time. Fuck off. I'll meet you at the movies. right? You can still get places. It's fine. But you're done with it. You're done with the presumptive, involuntary pushiness of being a creature. Okay. Thank God for that. It was just getting too warm in here. This whole creature thing. Whoa. It's too much.
It seemed to really go away, though. It fades a little bit.
Hang on.
As you get done.
What's happening by, I mean, I'm not denying or suggesting anything other than truth with what you just said, but what's happening is grappling with grappling. You have to have an interpretive field to create a value judgment, even a sincere, spiritual, secular value judgment, right, about what is and what isn't, and its durability, right? Because nothing happened a moment before now. So you can't rely on so-called prior ideation to come up with a reasonable and sincere conclusion about anything, because that's just grappling with grappling. See, peeling back the cloaks, there is no association. There's no identification. There's no reliance on prior experience or prior knowledge at all to tell you something about it.
All interpretive framework that you can apply to what's right here has to come from some thought about the past.
Yes.
Something from the past.
Well, even that there's a past is grappling with grappling. Mm-hmm. There is no past. You're the victim of conceiving. What I mean by victim is that you can't help it. Conceiving is just, fuck! It just fucking conceives. And in an instant, it looks like there was a past or time, that there's implication associated with this past, with time, with my memory and recollection and life experience, and therefore what the implication of those things are on my so-called, you know, the spiritual journey.
It just shows up.
Whoop! Whoosh! Yeah. I mean, it's like magicians, you know, using flash paper. It's all. It's like that. You see, mind is flash paper. There's nothing there. It's all flash paper. Because you can't find a past. You can talk about one. You can maybe, you know, show photographs of yourself at various, you know, ages. Oh, you've got an email trail, of course. You know, I mean, everyone does, even Hillary, of course. Right? So it looks like something happened before now, but you can't find it. All that you can find, which is nothing at all, is. Anything felt or thought about is flash paper. Mm-hmm. So you see, the intimacy that we're talking about as we move through the various sanctums of the temple, the church, wherever, the mosque, you're confronted with emptiness. You're confronted with peering into this, and you're not being rattled by flash paper. You're not body, mind, space, time. You're not a creature. Underneath the creature is I am. Before you're a creature, I am. And you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Because I am, thankfully, is less cloaked than the creature as body, mind, space, time, suffering, grappling with grappling, accompanied by anatta, anicca, and dukkha. Shh. You're pretty deep in the temple now. That was, bless you, that was, since we were talking about Nirsagadatta a little earlier, and I'm no expert on him, no one should be. He was too deliciously wild for anyone to be an expert on anything. But the emphasis made in that body of teaching was, I am, call it that, consciousness, call it that, peering into itself. That was his meditation. That's what his guru told him to do. And he was capable of dutifully following those instructions. But of course, he was at a time in his life where he heard this otherwise blasphemous message, from a guy that sat around in a piece of cotton smoking cigarettes on a stone, right? But he was willing to let it in. And that became, in his case, the vehicle for the cracking of all the cloaks. The cracking of that last cloak, or the last or first cloak. The last one to go, the first one that sets you off on a journey. Depends on which way you're looking, right? You're either looking from symptom back or you're looking from source out. So I am is the first cloak that sets you up, and it's the last cloak to go as you wind your way back from the discontent of a symptom field. You see, all the human beings are running around, grappling, suffering unknowingly from the diversion of body, mind, space, time, itself a cloak of misapprehension arising from I am. I am itself a cloak arising from nothing at all. Is. If you are somehow relaxed, even for a few moments, from the inertia, from the insatiability and involuntary insistence of making sense, what is this? When you're released from the involuntary pressure of conceiving, of making sense, grappling is like, you can't find it.
Why would you want to do that?
You wouldn't. Mm-hmm. You can't find grappling when you're released from conceiving. Which is to make some promulgation about yourself and then create an imaginary future in which you're going to be better, more satisfied, more spiritual, less sinful, whatever the fuck. Grappling with grappling is so vast a field of imagination that you can't nail it down. It'll tell you any lie it wants from moment to moment, and does, and will. It's like Carlos Castaneda being trapped by the inorganic beings in some fucking dream world as the double. That's grappling with grappling. That's what, human beings suffer from. The entrapment of the apparitional symptoms of conceiving. So when you peel away the symptom field, deconstruct it, you'll be gifted with stretches, short, maybe, longer, maybe, occasional, maybe, more frequent, maybe, but stretches of release from conceiving. You could say enough encounters, even though some people speak additive, cumulative, the poetry is fine. You could say with enough encounters of, call it conscious, we'll call it meta-apprehension, or release from conceiving, we'll catch up with you. And the insistence of I am will leave you. Is takes center stage. Itself is merely a metaphor for, call it, emptiness. Transtemporal communion. And as transtemporal communion gets under your skin, we could say we have a harder time taking ourselves sufficiently seriously to become seduced by I am, by creature, as body, mind, space, time, and with the mythical infinite presentation of grappling with grappling. See, once you imagine yourself to be the product of making sense, whether that's the conceptual one that we're familiar with from a worldview, or the much more subtle one where is has imbued itself, namely you, with the confidence of I am. Once we back off from these, call them organic presentations, making sense, the consequence of making sense. What are you? What is this? What is so-called experiencing? If you are not making sense, if you're not being pushed around by conceiving, thank you.
Oh, this is wild. Pushed around by conceiving. It's an interesting concept. It kind of feels like time is collapsing. Like there's less rumination over the past and less looking into the future.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's just, I don't know, less grappling with grappling.
Less grappling with grappling.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Is, I am, is it time, space, body? I'm grappling with grappling. This before.
Yeah. Is, I am, body, mind, space, time.
There we go.
Which is the creature, right. Grappling with grappling. And the glue is making sense. Which is the imposition of conceiving.
You gotta be like in a nutshell, that not making sense is sort of, you know, be as little children. Don't look at is with a preconceived I know.
Yes, for sure.
It appears on a regular basis that preconceived I know is just full of shit.
Grappling with grappling.
If you start to notice that,
yeah,
it gives you lots of good hints that you really don't know.
It can.
Because there's a lot of zigzags and turns in the road that, you know, you'd swear it was one way and then you get you get a little bit of a view of it. It's like, what?
The creature has an infinity of justification. Mm-hmm. And that same infinity of justification, as it's seen, let's say, with, you know, a more crafty eye, also becomes evidence for the dismantling of yourself. The inebriation of conceiving is both entrapping, because the creature just keeps running around in it as the creature, but as one becomes a little more sensitive, you're also released by it. The same thing that was entrapping you is the same body of evidence that releases you from its implication.
Because there isn't anything other than is.
That's one because. You know, if you're Dorothy and her friends, there's a lot of because. Because of the wonderful things he does. To frame it as a, bear with me, mystical chronology or a mystical genesis doesn't make any of that true. It's simply a way of enlivening the presence of attention through self-reflection. Let's just call it a more fundamental self-reflection. Because if we don't wean ourselves from grappling with grappling then we'll never wake up sufficiently for attention to consider itself in more subtle views.
I don't know if you can wean yourself from it. Either are interested in it or you're not.
It's not so black and white. Look at your own life experience.
Mm-hmm. Weaning usually implies you want something, so you're going to try to do something about something, and that's more grappling with grappling.
It can be.
But it lets go of you.
It does.
Possibly.
For sure.
If you're lucky, that grip just starts to like loosen.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, to be indulgent, one vehicle of countless that this, let's say, lessens its grip, its imposition on you, is that you can explore it texturally, sensually, conversationally, see the implication of how consciousness and mind and I am is operating, what its symptom field is. And by seeing its symptom field with more, can I say, objectivity, then you're less under its sway.
Reminds me of Frank years ago. We went to his house, he was here, and he was like, he had a garden, and he had pansies there, and he's like, it was in the springtime, he's like, you know, they all came up, they all had their little faces. He's like, I see you, you little fuckers. Oh, it's early on, I remember. Cracking me up. I see you, you little fuckers. Little pansies in the spring.
Right, they're all staring at him.
Yeah, you start to notice.
Yeah. Usually we get hung up in the field of grappling with grappling, which is imaginary content. That's the kind of common default.
As far as most people I would get.
It's just that's right. By highlighting through language, through conversation, through whatever, you know, blasphemy this is, you get to pick up hints that are para-human, trans-human. That are no longer reducing the mystical nature of your experience as a consequence of body, mind, space, time. Breaking the yoke of the creature is another big day, you know, for consciousness in search of itself. That's why I'm stringing it out the way I'm stringing it out as a metaphor of identifications or cloaks that peeled away reveal the next cloak. You can't get to, I'm being glib, I'm always glib, you can't get to the cloak of the creature, the myth of the creature, until you've had some relief from grappling with grappling. Otherwise, grappling with grappling has got you to the grave. So that cloak has to be removed. Then you begin to see, oh God, body, mind, space, time? Fuck! Creature? Fuck! You can't get to that kind of, holy shit, the creature is a myth, if you're still embroiled at, you know, a further or deeper symptom. I mean, a more superficial symptom. So you pull back from grappling with grappling. Then you're like, creature, fuck you. This is not a creature. No, this is, I don't know what this is, man, but this, no, this is no creature. Then you pull back, you keep pulling back, and then it's like, I am. But you're not done. Because I am is another subtle, mythical expression of emptiness.
I am is as valid as just is.
It can be. I'm suggesting watch out.
They're both valid ways of experiencing this.
Yeah. But valid is not... Valid's not on the court. Valid's not on the...
But this whole discussion is assuming that, you know, one is preferable or more interesting or better. It seems like there's some value judgment here that...
Like I said, I'm introducing this as a kind of mystical chronology to look at the various implication of cloaks, which is accompanied, no contest, with, call it, an implied value judgment.
Yeah.
Not necessarily better than. If one is a magician, if one is a shaman, if one is invited into, you know, a coven of, you know, radical self-discovery.
A coven of tinfoil hat wearing.
A tinfoil hat wearing coven of radical self-discovery. Yeah. We should probably go to that thing wearing a tinfoil hat. That'd be fucking cool. And everyone gets a unicorn puppet and a tinfoil hat. We're here. Black sneakers and a quarter or a silver dollar or something weird. We'll freak out. Yeah. So if you're, you know, if you're broiling in a tinfoil hat wearing coven of self-discovery, then you're already motivated to do some cloak peeling.
Or perhaps you've been naked before and you're just kind of sniffing around looking to shed the heaviness of what you normally wear.
Right. So the heaviness of what you normally wear, as you pointed out, implies a certain kind of preference or value system. It can't help but not to. So any chronology or cloak peeling metaphor is going to be accompanied by, you know.
But there is that everything is this thing. Like what brought me to that was considering, maybe it's some of the urban guru shit that I've been listening to, but also Peter, like one of the big light bulbs that has usually gone on when I hang with him is everything is this, whether it's dumb as a box of hammers or, you know, really getting the isness of it all, it's the same. Like no necessary value judgment on it. It's all this. Like you'll talk to Pete, I've talked to Peter about the, you know, the fuzzy, you know, heavy modes. He's like, yeah, that, or boredom or whatever. He's like, that's one of the major modes. Like sort of the all-inclusiveness of this is one of its charms. Clueless, right along with, yeah, I get it. Like peeled off all the cloaks right there. And to think that what's right here in exactly the way it's presenting is anything other than it keeps you always looking.
Well, you see, you're exploring the juxtaposition, as if there were one, of how is suggests that anything can be, that it can be other than itself. which is the, let's say, suggestible refusal of, oh, this isn't this, this isn't is, when is inclusive.
Yeah.
Now, the wisdom of inclusivity, I would say, you know, is not so easy to come by when you're out grappling with grappling. The wisdom of inclusivity makes natural sense.
The fuel for grappling is this can't be it.
Making sense.
Yeah. Or even, I guess I'm speaking in more like a seeker term. This can't be it, so you go on grappling.
Yes.
Ad nauseum.
Yes.
You're given, like, it's just for streaming here always. You can't miss it. And we'll end up just continuing to grapple because this can't be it. Like, it's just like, it should can it.
That's why I call it grappling with grappling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's just right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, like Coco Roon bite-sized super cookies. What more do you want?
You can take them to Pluto.
Just to make it wrap around it. Swing them across the room.
Well, yeah, you see a certain kind of improvisational freedom starts to, you know, bubble up in your so-called consciousness or experience. As there's deepening release from conceiving.
Conceiving of I. Conceiving of this world and the framework that I normally would enjoy.
That's right. That's why I created, for fun, for conversation's sake, I created, it just fucking showed up, I'd create anything. This little chronology, metaphor, of how conceiving implies downfield symptoms from the primary inclusivity, which is nothing at all.
Can you say that again?
Sure.
Please.
Is a primary inclusivity without other.
Yep.
You could call it a singularity. Mm-hmm. You could call it emptiness. Mm-hmm. Because even though it's remarkably expressive, it hasn't actually implied anything. So there's no binding.
Clean as a whistle.
Clean as a whistle.
Yep.
Is clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
Then there's the myth of what's downstream from is. Namely, I am body, mind, space, time, grappling with grappling, all of which are, you could say, manifested through conceiving.
Birthing yourself into existence right in the middle of is.
Bam! Birthing yourself into separative existence right in the middle of an unbroken inclusivity. That has now taken itself to be other than itself.
And now we're back to the value judgment. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, never said.
It seems to be how we all live.
Never said there was.
Yeah.
Never used the word wrong.
We're just curious, investigating, inquiring into that strange phenomenon that happens here.
If one is suffering,
the world go,
and many appear to be from time to time suffering is just another way of saying there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
We've made, or this has made, life experience or the interpretation of life experience somehow unsatisfactory, unpalatable, unfair. And I'm not arguing with that. There's a lot wrong here.
Catch a pin.
Yeah. Even though I'm a safe space, there's a lot wrong here. But, you know, you can't go next door to where people are actually having meaningful spiritual fun. And you know, say, what are you doing? They're having a blast grappling with grappling and finding, you know, exciting, if not erotic, remedies for it through candles and crystals and skulls and bowls and come on. I got nothing. They're having the most fun.
You can find those everywhere.
You can find those everywhere.
And it doesn't have to be in a, quote, spiritual context.
No.
You can go learn how to play bridge.
You can become an anarchist.
Yeah. Plenty of things to do.
That's right.
And when you set down grappling with grappling in a spiritual sense, it opens up anything as pretty much equal.
Back to inclusivity.
Yeah, like that wouldn't be much more attractive maybe than, I don't know, learning how to...
play the banjo.
Yeah. Equal.
Yeah, that's...
And it actually makes that a little less attractive because it's always got that sticky, we're going to save the world kind of horseshit wrapped around it.
It can. It has, I mean, it has the, you know, the understandable urgency of persons, creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least people learning how to play bridge or banjo.
It's practical.
They don't tend to have that.
Yeah, doing fucking crystal healing.
Yeah.
You know, God, grow mushrooms, learn how to play the banjo. What's wrong with you? But, as you say, since it's all, you know, equal.
It is all.
Crystal healing, dolphin dreaming, cultivating psilocybin, playing the banjo. Okay.
You know what, though? I tend to, like, the things that I'm more drawn to usually are the ones where people are like, you know, they're going to save the world with it. Not that I'm walking in thinking I'm going to save the world, but I don't know. I tend to go to those
circles of changing the world, or, you know, they have a certain kind of thrill, a certain kind of tension there.
Old stuff. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know how much of our attraction to the various groups that we get involved with have to do with our attempts to heal, you know, childhood wounds.
Well, marriage will do that.
Marriage will do that. Well, thanks for coming, everyone. It's really been a lot of fun. Now, remember, it all starts with emptiness. Is. Then, for some curious reason, the is, through some magical nature of conceiving, imbues itself with a sense of I am. Holy unicorn, Batman! Then, the I am, presuming that it is body, mind, and space and time, suffers from the never-ending frustration of grappling with grappling. It's incredible, folks. Grappling with grappling is just unbelievable. Now, if you stay with us from time to time here at the Night Sky Sangha, you'll be able to unravel this morass of self-interest, frustration, and irritability and come back to your natural self, as have I. Thanks for joining us this evening, and we'll see you again at a future program. Thank you.